On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Golden Globes kicked off award season Sunday night. It was good news for the entertainment world as ratings were up across the board, including broadcast TV, social media, and streaming, despite the fact that the Globes were up against Sunday Night Football. Network TV reported that ratings were up 50% from the broadcast in 2023. The ceremony also produced 40 million social media impressions, which were more than the 2024 Oscars and Grammys had combined. Streaming ratings were up 9%. Post Malone performed with Beyonce during the NFL halftime show on Christmas Day in Houston. The night before, he was hanging at a bar called the Rail Yard with Shibuzi. That was a fun sentence to say. Malone met bartender Renee Brown, a single mom upset that she was working Christmas Eve for the first time instead of home making cookies and watching Christmas movies with her 9-year-old daughter. Her night picked up when Malone left her a $20,000 tip. Being more than 15% is so gauche. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the San Antonio Spurs tonight at Fiserv Forum. Head coach Doc Rivers says Giannis Antetokounmpo continues to amaze him with his style of play.
Giannis' athletic ability, he's one dribble away from a dunk. If you don't come, he's going to score. If you do come, he's going to pass. I think it's really helped him see the floor, and that's been good for us.
College hoops, number 7th ranked Marquette, down 14 points with a comeback win over Georgetown, 74-66. College football, Badgers defensive back Xavier Lucas. In a dispute with the team, Lucas wants to enter the transfer portal. The university claims he signed an agreement to remain at Wisconsin. The freshman has now hired a law firm based in Miami, Florida. NFL, the Packers installing the game plan for Sunday's matchup against the Eagles. What's the concern after losing back-to-back to the Vikings and then the Bears?
Trying to make sure that everyone's still together. Offense, defense, we get a chance to go to Philly and win on their turf.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Nation, while hiding what is true, don't let them take your kindness, don't let them poison you. Don't listen to Fox, so-called news. It's misleading, it's wrong, it's designed to confuse. It will rot your brain and make you mean.
Welcome back, 35 minutes past the hour, and picking up your calls here, Michelle in Kansas City, Missouri. Hey, Michelle, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, I am just curious. They keep throwing around this birthright citizenship. How do I prove I'm a citizen? Both my parents were born at home. I do not have their birth certificates. But yet my husband, who both his parents are born in Italy and have their citizenship, he can prove he's an American citizen. How do I prove I'm an American citizen? And
question.
As a lawyer, I'm thinking, how do I tell, I live in a neighborhood of immigrants. My neighbor across the street from Vietnam, she can prove she's a citizen. I don't know what do we do? I don't think two steps ahead, Tom, and I'm very frustrated.
Yeah.
As you can tell.
I get it, Michelle. you know, the old expression, the devil's in the details, I think applies here. Stephen Miller and John Eastman, you know, in their absolute crusade to reduce the population of non-white people living on, you know, in America, are going to have a heavy lift here if they go after
and
this
Tom,
kind of.
I am a white. I can glow in the dark, white, redhead woman, but I can't prove I'm
American.
They
probably won't even bother you.
Prove. Oh well, I'm married to an Italian. I live in. That's my fear. What do I tell my other clients?
Yeah.
Here's how you prove you're an American. You pledge allegiance to a flag. I don't understand, Tom. So
yeah.
I'm just going to wait for your very informed listeners to teach me more and wait for their ideas.
Well, me too. And you know, we're going to see how this shakes out. I mean, there's going to be an attempt to blow up birthright citizenship. We know that now. We know what the rationale for it is going to be, the primary rationale. There's a secondary rationale that John Eastman is also putting forward which I didn't have time to get to when I was going through the whole list, which is the invader rationale. Just like diplomats' children born here do not have citizenship because they're not subject to the laws of America, the same is true of invaders who are not subject to the laws of America because they're specifically here to overthrow America. Well, Eastman and Trump are claiming that illegal immigrants, in quotes, people who came here without legal status, are invaders. And as such, they're, you know, that 1898 Supreme Court or 1889 Supreme Court decision, Hang Wong, I think it was, whatever it was, applies to them. And, you know, in other words, they have no claim to citizenship. So,
well, one of my dearest friends is from London. She immigrated here in 89 when she was, you know, a teenager. Mm-hmm. Her mother did not complete her paperwork, but now she's working on her citizenship. She had more things to say I'm an American than I do. So I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait for your callers and listeners to give me
advice. It's going to be a mess. I think they're going to start, though, with low-hanging fruit, you know, which is brown people working in visible environments, you know, 7-Eleven.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing their job, so.
Yeah. And that will probably have an instant economic impact, and that will probably cause them to back off a little bit. But I think what Eastman is looking at is, I mean, if you look at the chronology, we didn't even have immigration laws until, I believe it was 1924. It was during the 1920s when, other than the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1886, we had no immigration laws specifically that defined who was and wasn't a citizen other than just birthright citizenship. And then in the 20s, we established immigration laws based on racial quotas. The law that was passed in the 1920s said that, and I believe this was during the administration of Coolidge, that law specifically said that America would accept immigrants from different countries as long as the number of those immigrants based on their race did not alter the racial makeup of America. So, you know, we could allow 11% of Hispanics and 14% of black people and, you know, 3% of Asia, whatever the numbers are. I'm just making numbers up, but you
right,
get the point.
Right.
And that stood until 1965. I mean, Lyndon Johnson blew that up. And it was relatively not uncontroversial. It was a follow-on to the Civil Rights and the Voting Rights Acts. But within a few years, the racist Democrats who had, by and large, you know, by the 70s, certainly most all of them had left the Democratic Party and moved over to the Republican Party. The Republicans realized that what was happening was that disproportionately people of color were applying for citizenship, and because there was no longer a racial test for citizenship, they were, you know, America was getting browner and browner rapidly because of, you know, specifically because of that. And so I think that Eastman's long-term goal is to basically reverse that 1965 law, you know, effectively, not by reversing the law, but by reversing the application of birthright citizenship. And
well, I think we should make every American white person take the citizenship test that my Vietnamese neighbor, my London neighbor, and my husband's family had to take. And if they pass it, they can be citizens.
Good luck with that, Michelle.
All right, Tom, you have a good one. Thank you.
I'm guessing 90% of Americans could not pass that test, you know, without at least a study.
They couldn't pass the first 10 questions. What do you mean?
Exactly. Michelle, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Jackie in Port Townsend, Washington. Hey, Jackie, what's up?
Hi. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Back at you.
Glad you had a vacation.
But we did.
I always miss
really
you when you're gone.
Well, thank you. That's sweet.
I'm wondering, I've been trying to, well, I've called my senators, my representative, about, you know, the release of the documents of Jack Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to reach that White House for like 2 weeks. There's no way to reach them. They don't.
Did you try
the recording?
456-1111 comment line?
Yes.
Okay.
And it just says, our office is not open till after the holidays and have a happy holidays or something. It's still that same message. And the email is not accessible. I was wondering if anyone else had run into that. But
I've had people complain about that on the program. But Jackie, there's no congressional solution to this. This is purely judicial. You've got Judge Cannon saying that it's got to be held. It's going to be appealed. Congress has no say in the matter.
Well, you know, we all have to speak up in unison. But the thing is about Judge Cannon, she's not the boss of us. And she already threw out the case anyway.
Right.
So why isn't it a moot point?
Well, what she's arguing is that since she threw out the case, there's no legitimacy to the publishing the investigations apropos of it, you know, that led to it, or that would have.
Well, she threw out the one case, the documents case,
right?
But not the other one.
You're right, and
so
that's,
I don't
and that's
get
why
that.
Judge Chutkan came out and said Judge Cannon is wrong, and so you know the government is appealing this right now. The Department of Justice is appealing this, and we'll see where the appeal goes. But you know, if Democrats controlled either the House or Senate, then one of their committees, ideally a Judiciary Committee, could subpoena those documents and put them into the public record by simply reading them into the congressional record. But right now, the Democrats no longer control either party, and thus don't control any of the committees, and so that option is out.
Well, there's a phone number for the Department of Justice comment line.
Yeah.
202-353-1555. Mm-hmm. And the main switchboard for the Justice Department is 202-514-2000. Everyone should be calling the Justice Department.
Yeah. Not only, not only do I want to see the Jack Smith reports, the two-volume report, I'd also like to see the unredacted Robert Mueller report.
We have that right as citizens.
I believe.
I believe.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jackie, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Joanne in Berkshire, Massachusetts. Hey, Joanne, what's up? Thanks for listening to WHMP.
Hi. I take you off speaker. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to make a comment. First of all, there was a song I recommended to your screener, Sunny Meadows, 1997-99. It's called Just Like in Germany Before the War, and it was part of an album, but the words are unbelievably relevant to today. The other thing is I wanted to mention that I follow the psychology of fascism and why people become fascists and why people are followers. And I happened to, as you probably do, notice that Trump is following verbatim the script, Mein Kampf script.
Absolutely.
And what he did in those first 100 days. And if you remember, first, he did away with the Constitution and the Republic. But then the following year, when the Prussian hierarchy said to him, look, we don't want these brown shirts anymore. You get rid of them or we get rid of you. He got rid of them.
Well, he converted
so
them into
I don't
the army.
Remember the Night of Knives and then thousands of his political threats and political opposition leaders, people who had been chancellors, he murdered.
Well, there was that.
And I'm not saying that will happen, but I believe very much that he will turn on these people and betray them. He's already beginning to do it.
Yeah.
And the other last thing I want to make a comment of, there's a poem that was an ode, and it was the last great poet, prophetic poet of the court of Java. and it's by Ranga Warsita, and it's called In the Tongue of Darkness. And I hate to be negative, but it just, now the glory of the realm is manifest and empty white. I mean, that's how it begins.
Yeah.
And the rule of rules is in ruin. It's a marvelous, I mean, for unfortunately for people who study history, history is imposed upon us by those who don't.
Yes.
So
you're right.
For all we do, you know, I mean, I sit here and I talk to people who are in the Council of Foreign Relations who I grew up with, and it's completely over their head.
Yeah, sadly. I get it. I get it, Joanne, and I'm as concerned as you are. And the one advantage that we have that the remnants of the Weimar Republic didn't have is that we can look back at history and see how this has played out in the past. But, you know, like
Absolutely.
You said, most people are not, they're not familiar with it. Joanne, thank you for the call.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
47 minutes past the hour. Back with your calls in just a moment. Stay with us. Hey, it's a new year and time to make a difference. Have you been thinking about supporting a cause that really matters? Now is the time to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation. FFRF is a leading voice for the separation of church and state. They're standing up for your rights as a non-religious free thinker, whether it's protecting public schools from religious influence, defending freedom of thought, or advocating for science and reason in government. And when you become a member, you're not just joining a cause, you're joining a community. You'll get access to exclusive content like their Free Thought Today newspaper, events with top thinkers and activists, and so much more. Ready to take action? Visit ffrf.us/Hartman today, or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's, to 511-511 and become a member today. Text Hartman to 511-511. Together, we can make 2025 the year we protect our religious liberties like never before. Text fees may apply.
Standing at the edge of a rocky shore, you breathe in the cool, salty air, watching the sun disappear on the horizon. Across the globe, someone begins their day along a sandy beach, listening to the rhythm of the crashing waves. You each envision a world beneath the water, vibrant life in every imaginable form. Now, imagine it's all gone. What was once a place of wonder and beauty is now a dull, lifeless wasteland. Food, jobs, medicine, all gifts from the ocean, all gone. Time is running out to protect our oceans. And without our love, everything the oceans provide can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our oceans. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere. In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species.
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
Turn the dial, hear the chatter, voices rise, opinions scatter, across the airwaves loud and clear.
Welcome back. 52 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here, Ron in Berrien Springs, Michigan. Hey, Ron, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom. Tom, first of all, another book that tells the story of Nazis who came over to this country after World War II and was the Hidden Nazi. It's the story of probably the worst war criminal ever, and he was allowed to come to the United States secretly through the Dulles brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really want to talk about...
There's a fairly grim history around Operation Paperclip and some of the things peripheral to it, particularly with regard to the CIA, because Paperclip was more about our rocket program. But yeah, I get it, Ron. I'm familiar with it.
But what I'd call about was Nick Fuentes was in Chicago, in Berwyn, Illinois, about 2 weeks ago, and he was in a shootout with somebody who came to his house, and they opened fire, and they didn't get him. But I was just wondering why Nick Fuentes was in Berwyn, a suburb of Chicago, and Trump has said that he wants to use Chicago as the first example of his border policy crackdown. And he said he was going to use military and paramilitary forces. And I just wonder if Nick Fuentes was here recruiting and organizing for that effort.
Wow. I don't know the details of that, Ron, so I can't speak to that specifically. But speaking broadly, I am very concerned that Trump is going to try to build or allow to form a more coherent, more organized, more disciplined national militia, essentially coalition of militia groups, you know, the Three Percenters and the Proud Boys and et cetera, et cetera. And that they will become, Viktor Orban and Vladimir Putin both have groups like this. Putin's one is primarily a motorcycle club that has spread all over Russia, and they just go around and they tear. Mm-hmm. But they mostly beat up gay people, and people of color. And in Hungary, they've got these militia groups that go around and beat up the Roma, you know, what we used to call gypsies, and Syrian refugees. So.
Dina Vidala has had problems with the Proud Boys, if I'm not mistaken. He had a lawsuit against them and won. So they're a dangerous organization. And with Trump and the FBI being neutered as far as efforts to.
I don't think the FBI is going to be neutered. I think the FBI is going to become, you know, like it was under J. Edgar Hoover, only worse. I mean, Hoover used the FBI to try to convince Martin Luther King, for example, to commit suicide, you'll recall. You know, I mean, he spied on me. You know, I was in SDS in the 60s in East Lansing, Michigan. And you know, the FBI, the Michigan State Police, I mean, they were all over us. So I'm expecting those days to come back in on steroids.
Yeah, he went after our organization, BVAW also.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Thank you for your work, Tom.
Thank you, Ron. Good talking to you. Michael in Bronx, New York. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I had to call back because I heard your earlier caller, Michelle, asking about how does one prove they were a U.S. citizen. You know, this is the year in which you have to upgrade your driver's license or non-driver's ID.
By May of this year, I believe.
IDs. By May to a real ID or enhanced. If you are a U.S. citizen, you have a choice between the real or the enhanced, but only U.S. citizens can go for the enhanced, which is $30 extra. You have to have your original documents of U.S. birth certificate, U.S. passport, or even U.S. certificate of naturalization, along with Social Security card and proof of state address. And then when you upgrade it and it becomes enhanced, it's $30 extra on top of the DMV fees, mm-hmm. all right, the DMV fees in the respective states.
So legally that will allow you to say, yes, I am a citizen when they come knocking on your door. But what if they say, you know, we don't accept that anymore because we think maybe your parents were illegal immigrants? Then what do you do?
It does not matter. If you, yeah, but if you're a U.S. citizen, you can get an enhanced.
It's not up to you and me to decide what matters and what doesn't. So it's going to be up to the next attorney general, and that's where the problem could come in. But Michael, thank you for the call. And thanks for the information. And thanks for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us, and that includes you. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the folks around you.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number because here it comes.
800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. That's 800-961-2480. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
Hi, friends. Tom Hartman here to remind you that it's your support of our show that keeps us on the air. Without you, there wouldn't be a Tom Hartman program. And now more than ever, it's crucial for you to show your progressive support. And one of the best ways to show your support is to sign up for Tomcast. That's our podcast. It's at tomhartman.com. Never miss another heated debate on healthcare, global climate change, or our economy. Never miss another one again. Plus, labor news, full Monty alerts, conservative alerts, and my personal favorite segment, Geeky Science, each and every week. But wait, there's more! As an added bonus with your Tomcast podcast subscription, you'll also get my Best of the Rest of the News, a daily 3-minute dose of what's going on in the world today that you can't afford to miss. So what are you waiting for? Get over to TomHartman.com today and sign up for your Tomcast now. Do it for yourself, or you can do it for a friend. Go to TomHartman.com to see just how we...
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President-elect Trump went 1-for-2 Tuesday in his legal cases. Florida federal judge Eileen Cannon temporarily blocking the public release of special counsel Jack Smith's final report in the classified documents case. Here in New York City,
a legal bloat for Donald Trump. A New York appeals judge denying his request to delay his criminal sentencing, set for Friday. Judge Ellen Gesmer rejecting Trump's claim that the case should be delayed because of presidential immunity.
ABC's Olivia Rubin. 30,000 residents of Los Angeles's Pacific Palisades neighborhood are under evacuation orders from a fast-moving, wind-driven wildfire. More than 13,000 homes and other structures are threatened, and California Governor Gavin Newsom says some have been destroyed. Las Vegas investigators say New Year's Day truck bomber Matthew Leivelsberger used artificial intelligence, including ChatGPT, to help plot out the attack. This is ABC News.